Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Where the line between neighbor and nightmare is razor thin. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
The death, the suicide of Micah Miller, a case that we've been talking about throughout this year. 30-year-old woman died April of 24, taking her own life out in the woods. Her husband, Pastor John Paul Miller, been under the microscope for quite some time and under a lot of scrutiny, including from Micah's family, as to what his involvement may or may not have been in her death. I think it's safe to say that this was a suicide. There's no evidence. I don't see anything that points to him actually murdering her in any way, shape, or form. But coercive control is something that has been coming up as the FBI continues to investigate John Paul Miller. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Eric Faddis, defense attorney and a former prosecutor. Coercive control is an interesting thing. We've seen it in a case not that long ago. They were teenagers of it was a young woman who essentially encouraged her boyfriend to take his own life in a vehicle. And she went away for not very long. I think it was like 18 months was the sentence. But that was pretty blatant. It was like a, yes, please, you should kill yourself. And in no way am I saying that John Paul Miller did that. But if you have years of abuse, allegedly, I'm basing this strictly on the claims that Micah Miller has made or did make before her demise, if those are to be true, can you hold the partner responsible in any way, shape, or form for their death if they made that choice on their own? To end their life rather than to find some other way out of that relationship?
I think the answer that is emerging now in the legal world is yes, that you can. Now, whether you should be able to, can be debated. But yeah, like you said, there's that case you cited. There's a documentary about that one. And I've seen at least one other case. And in fact, there's a third case where an AI agent was corresponding with a teenager. And the AI being or whatever you want to call it, was giving information that led to this teenager killing themselves. And so it's a fine line in terms of trying to hold someone accountable who's in that position, because you have the personal responsibility of the individual who did whatever they did to die by suicide. But then, you know, is there another part of the story that deserves prosecution? That's really up in the air.
Does the case of Micah Miller deserve a bit more of an investigation into her own mental health? Everybody's, again, we're talking about Brittany earlier. You know, and John Paul Miller's story the whole time has been, look, she was not mentally well. I was basically the bumpers for her, trying to keep her on track, trying to keep her taking her medicine, because otherwise she would really go off the rails. That's been his story. He loses a lot of credibility when you have the abuse allegations that go in there, but you also then take a step back and play devil's advocate and go, well, how accurate are those allegations? If this person was mentally ill, were they truly being abused, or were they perceiving this? Was it a delusion? There's a lot of questions there. There's no video of him beating her up or anything of that nature. We certainly have seen other evidence of mental abuse, without a doubt, which can be just as horrible and damning to someone. But when you have something like this, where do you go?
You know, I think one way to look at it, and it's not the only way, and it's not the only consideration, but one consideration is, what was the individual's motive? Mm-hmm. Was it this motive of compassion, that you were trying to help another person who was suffering, who did not want to be here, who could maybe not have died by suicide by themselves, and you're assisting that person to end that suffering? Or is there some other nefarious motive that could come into play, some kind of selfishness, some sort of self-interest, some sort of contempt or something like that against another person? I think that is one place to start, is trying to discern the motive of the helper involved.
And I think character of that individual involved obviously plays a big, big role. And that's the problem, I think, in this case, is the character. And what we've seen I mean, this is a relationship that was began as a very, you know, insidious affair. His best friend's wife, their babysitter, his former wife, and this is that's who Micah Miller is, the babysitter. It's not exactly what you would think of a pastor in terms of what they should be doing. He's admitted to being addicted to prostitutes, and there's been many other bizarre admissions as well. So it's hard to go back and say, oh, okay, I get it. You were really trying to keep her from hurting herself. The credibility doesn't add up, even if it's true because of that character.
Yeah, you know, there are some alleged details to this matter that raise some eyebrows and that some people think are rather shady, which is ironic considering one of the individuals involved is a pastor. And so, yeah, you've got to look at, you know, is there more to the story? What was there some sort of, like you said, coercive control, some nefarious influence that led to the death of a person who didn't have to die? Mm-hmm. That's, of course, a question on prosecutors' minds.
The family settled with him on their civil case. The settlement is confidential. It doesn't leave a lot of questions answered for the public. There is still the FBI investigation into him, and we don't know all the details of that. We know very little of the details into that, even if it's about the murder. I don't know that it even is about the murder. I think there's a lot of financial dealings that are being investigated there. At least that's my conjecture out of it. With all of that being said, how should he be navigating this at this point? Obviously, he was just charged the other week for getting up in someone's face as protesters came out in front of his church of the week because he keeps seeming to move churches. He likes to be in the spotlight, it seems. He likes to get the attention. If you're advising John Paul Miller on what to do in this case right now with all this attention on you, what would you be saying?
You know, lay low, bro. Like, I get that, especially as a pastor, to this feeling of righteous indignation and you know, lashing out at these protesters and everything else. But my gosh, you've really got to, I think, have sort of a solemn presentation when you're navigating how to go through this. You cannot be popping off and you know, getting charged with crimes and everything like that. You've got to be the saint that you may have portrayed yourself as a pastor to your congregation.
Yeah, portrayal is one thing, and then reality is another. And that when the two, you can go off portrayal for a long time, but then when people really start to look, because there's a microscope on you, and you start saying these two don't really add up, that's when you get a situation like this.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we see so many dark sides of folks that come out and are revealed through these investigations. And I think we're all kind of looking to see what could be revealed through this one.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.